All right, we've got several folks coming in the parking lot, so we'll get started maybe a minute or two late getting in here, but let's have a choir come on up, get the choir off. We'll start here in just a little bit. Thank you.
I hope that puts you in the mood to sing. 457. 457, the songbooks are right there on your seat. Take your hymnals and stand with us. To God be the glory. All right, I think you know it. If you haven't found the page, keep turning. Well, let's sing the first verse.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. The Lord be the world.
In the book, look up and sing. Right. Praise the Lord. Praise, praise the Lord. Let's sing the third.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Glad to be here tonight. Say amen. Good to be in the house of God on a beautiful Monday night. We've had a wonderful weekend here at Anchor with our ladies meeting on Saturday. Great, great time. And then yesterday, two great messages. That one last night on the Lord's Supper was absolutely tremendous. I've not stopped thinking about it. I've never heard anyone preach in a revival on the Lord's Supper when you weren't having it. And to my knowledge, I don't ever remember there being the Lord's Supper during a revival meeting. So it was great. What a wonderful thought. But we're looking forward to something fresh today. Amen. So glad to have all of you here. Some visitors. Glad to have Brother Kittrell Benton and his wife, Brother Kittrell Pastors at Whispering Pines. Our ladies just were at their ladies meeting here just a month or so ago, maybe, or a few weeks ago. And so glad to have Brother Kittrell here with us. I'm going to ask him to open the service in prayer. When he's through, you can be seated, and the choir will sing another number. Brother Kim.
Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for being a new praise.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Beautiful Day, and again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Oh, and treat us mighty.
And we love you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Good singing tonight. We have some visitors. We'll introduce some here in just a little bit. But let's stand. We're going to give you a time to shake hands and meet some folks around you while the choir comes down. Thank you.
right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing. And all right. Time to break it up and head back to the neutral corner. All right. I think everybody's debts are paid. And everybody owed somebody, paid it up tonight. So that's good. That helps revival when nobody owes anybody anything. Oh, we're glad to have you in the service tonight. Don't forget now, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we'll have our prayer time at 6:40. Appreciate all the men that came out to pray today. And we'll do that each night. I think that helps the service when we get together and pray and ask God to bless. And again, we're so glad to have you here with us tonight. Thank you for being here. Glad to have my brother and my sister-in-law here with us tonight. And they're separated, I see, by one chair. No, I'm so glad they're here. Listen, it's been such a joy since they got saved. Man, they go to church all the time. They've been down here several times. He'll call me and say, "Why don't we go to this service somewhere?" And I've been praying all them years. God save him now that he has, and he's doing it. It's almost like I can't hardly believe it. But I do believe it. Of course I do. It's been such a change in his life, him and BJ both. But I'll tell you just that my other brother just got saved not long ago, and she called me. She said, "Boy, am I glad I don't have any more kids to get saved." She said, "It's about driving me crazy." So thank God we're all in now, so the circle won't be broken. Amen. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Brother Tim, you got another song ready? We'll sing another verse of a song, and then after that, we'll take care of the love offering tonight. Then we're just going to dispense with all the amount. Our people know what's going on here. Don't need to spend time with all that. Let's just spend time in the service. So come on, Brother Tim, lead us in another song, if you would.
All right, 433. We'll give you one chance to stand. 433, "Since I Have Been Redeemed." We'll sing the first and last stanzas, 433. Sing out now.
I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer, Savior, King. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a home prepared for me since I have been redeemed, where I shall dwell eternally since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will
singing. You can be
amen. All right, ushers, come on, let's take care of the offering this evening. This is the love offering. And while they're coming, of course, good to have Miss Wass here. When will you be heading home, Miss Wass? Go visit some more family down in Alabama. We always know when it's Jubilee time because Miss Wass comes. And of course, Barbara's already gone back to Florida. Yesterday, I think it was, or maybe Sunday evening. But anyhow, we love Miss Wass. That's Brenda's mother. She lives up in Minnesota. And I understand, I think, did you all get that snow Saturday we're talking about? Yeah, man, 4, 5, 6 inches of snow up there. Well, I'm just glad it stayed up there. I don't care if it stays all year as long as it don't come down here. I'm telling you. But we love Miss Wass. She's such a pleasant, such a joy to be around. And they're heading to Alabama to visit some other family before she goes back home. But anyway, we're just glad to see her here. And I mentioned Brother Barry Burleson. He pastors New Hope Baptist Church, the church I started in, my first church in Rock Hill. In fact, next week they've got revival with Mike Holcomb. Many of you remember Mike Holcomb. He sang bass for the Inspirations for years and years, and now he's an evangelist. And he's going to be up there, and we're going to try to go Tuesday night if any of our folks would like to go. If you'll let me know between now and Sunday, we'll take a van load or however many want to go and go up there and hear Brother Holcomb. I've never heard him preach. I know he has. I've been places where he's been, but I was never there at the time when he was preaching. Man, I remember, my gracious, in the early 70s, I'm talking about 73, 74, He was just a young man then, and the inspirations would come to our church at prayer and sing. And man, that was a long time ago. I fell in love with the Inspirations Quartet then. And so now he's preaching. So I'm looking forward to hearing. I've heard him on the radio and I've heard him on CD, but I've never heard him in person. So we're looking forward to maybe going. And if any of you'd like to go, then you let me know and we'll take a crowd with us. All right, let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. You give as you can. All that you give goes to the preacher this week. We so love Brother Brian. We've enjoyed a great day of fellowship today at the zoo. We went to the zoo today and visited some of our relatives. Amen. And had a good time, though. Enjoyed the kids enjoyed climbing them rocks and climbing on that big whatever that thing is. And they even wanted to try that zip line, but we didn't feel quite that brave. Let them fly down that zip line. But man, what a beautiful day it was, and it's a beautiful evening. So, all right, Brother Rick Richardson, you pray for the offering if you would, please.
Specials tonight. The first special will be Ladies Trio. So, Taryn, you come ahead. A couple months ago, we had the opportunity to be at Brother Brian's church and do a little music thing. And the pastor preached, and Taryn came to me. She said, I'd love to sing with Bethany and Brittany. And then she told me the same thing at the Jubilee the other day. I said, well, y'all get a number together and tell Brian. So they're going to sing. And then right after they sing, the Blessed Trio is going to sing. I thought Bethany was bowing out. Okay, listen to the trio.
Overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light. the heater's all on. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I look around by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. He knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, and He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. But He took the loss. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine,
'cause He knows my name. He knows my name.
Amen.
That's good singing right there.
Amen.
Tender blade of grass so green, crushed in the footprint of the Nazarene, sprang back and waved a message to a bird on a wing. That's Him. In a muddy old river, in the noonday sun, an outcast kept crying, I tell you He's the one. And a voice out of heaven said, I'm pleased with my son. That's Him. That's Him. Sharon's run, that's Him. Our morning star that glows, He's Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. That's Him. waves splashing everywhere. He's asleep in the boat, and does he even care? We're all so afraid, but he just keeps lying there, 'cause that's him. Then he raised his hands above his head, said, "Peace be still," and the waters, they just fled. A wave tapped the wind on his shoulder and said, "Shh, that's him. That's him. That's him." There'll be two at work in a field one day. One will be left, the other caught away. One falls to his knees, it's too late, he'll say, "That's him." With one foot on the sea and one on the shore, declaring that time, it will never be anymore. The trumpet will sound like never before. That's him. That's him. He shares and draws. That's him. Our morning star that glows. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's him. He's Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. That's him. That's him.
Wonderful. You ever bumped into somebody you hadn't seen in a while? And you may look at your wife or and say, "I know him. I think I know that person." Or you haven't seen him and you reckon, and say, "Man, it's good to see you." Can you imagine when the rapture happens? We won't look at each other and say, "Is that him?" Because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." We're going to say, "That's him! In the twinkling of an eye, that's him."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know him?
Yeah.
Remember, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
That's him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good. Oh, what that music. Wonderful tonight. I believe we honored God with our music tonight. And now it's time for the Word of God. Come on, Brother Brian. Brian Gurley, the pastor of the Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Peachland, North Carolina. Had a great, great day yesterday. I appreciate a man who really seeks the Lord in the messages that he preaches. And so you keep your Bibles open, keep your attention tonight. We'll try not to keep you past midnight. And if we do, find you a window and go to sleep like Eutychus did. If you fall out, you won't have far to go. Come on, Brother Brian, preach to us what the Lord's laid on your heart, brother. God bless you.
Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 29, if you have your Bibles. Genesis chapter 29, and preacher, I thought he was going to start preaching. We could let him preach up here. It's a blessing. The music's great here. The music is out now. I think most people come here. I don't know how the preaching is, but the music's excellent around here.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. No, Brother Kirk preached for us more than once, and I love his preaching. The choir's excellent. That last trio that sang. Terry done a good job with that trio. I was thinking we could do something. Put them on the road, give them a bus, and it's three of y'all people. We could just take a quarter of the earnings. We would take that, and I'd be a diesel sniffer following that group around. It's a blessing. We had a good time today. We did go to the zoo. I told somebody they wanted to keep us. They thought we shouldn't leave and wanted to keep us there. It looked like a, anyways, a good group. All I've heard since I got back from Brother Rick and Miss Judy, they texted us. He texted about, I texted them. They had put drinks and some fruit basket in our room. And I texted them, thank you. Brother Rick texted me back. He said, really, I'm sorry that Andrew couldn't be there today. He wanted them and Brittany to be there, and said, I know we had a good time with Brian and Bethany, but really it would have been a lot better if we'd had Andrew and Brittany there. And so I want to tell you publicly, it's okay. We enjoyed being around Brian and Bethany. We love them. I don't know if y'all, I don't know why you don't love them as much as Andrew, but I love Bethany. Anyway, maybe next year we'll try if we can do it again. We'll wait on them. All right, let's stand. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Glad you're here. I appreciate you being here. And Brother Kitchell, appreciate you being here. Maybe some other people visiting. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be here together. It's been a blessing already. Lord, it's been a joy in my heart. Lord, to come here and listen to people that put their heart into what they're doing. And Lord, this church is like that. Lord, everything's so first class. I believe it honors you. Lord, I thank you for people that care about you, that love you. Father, tonight, help us. God, we sure have a desire to please you. I believe people that are here tonight, they're not just wandering in. Lord, nobody here, I don't believe. Lord, if they're saved, Lord has anything that they'd want to keep from loving you more. And Lord, that's really a desire, I would say, in revival, is loving you above all else. So, Father, please tonight, help us to, whatever area we need help in, Lord, in our hearts tonight. Surely not everybody in here is doing as good as they can. Surely that can't be the case. Maybe somebody in here is lost, Lord, that doesn't know you. And Lord, tonight I ask you please to work in our hearts, bring conviction. Really help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Genesis 29, I want to start reading here in verse number 15. And we're picking up right in the middle of Jacob's life. You know, Jacob's got his own set of problems. He's a deceiver up to this point. He's already robbed his brother of a birthright, robbed Esau of a birthright, robbed him of a blessing. And when Jacob's mother Rebekah saw that Esau hated him, she said, I want you to leave here, and I don't want you to take a wife of the Canaanites. I want you to leave here, and I want you to go to my brother's place where he lives, and I want you to find your wife. And so he's left there, and on the way he saw some men with some herds around a well, and here come Rachel off in the distance, and she was bringing her father's flock, and they met, and she's led him back to his uncle Laban. And so he's here in verse number 15. He's going to start working for Laban. The Bible said in verse 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother. And of course, he's his nephew, but that's how they talk. His brother is sister's Rebekah, their brother and sister, so that's what they said. Shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? You're going to be working for me. You get to choose what you want me to pay you, what your reward is. You get that choice. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Verse 17, the Bible says, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So it tells us about Laban's two daughters. Leah is the oldest one. Rachel's the youngest one. The Bible says that Rachel is beautiful and she's well favored. Boys, that means she was a good looking woman. If you read about Joseph, remember Joseph had a dream. He saw that cattle and some were ill favored and some were well favored. And nobody wants that ill favored. They want that well favored, right? And so it describes Rachel as this beautiful thing, somebody that's pleasant to the eyes, that's appealing to the eyes. And then the Bible also describes Leah. The Bible don't say anything about her beauty. Don't say anything about her looks. The Bible says that she was tender-eyed. And I tend to think that probably has more to do with her heart and the type of temperament she had, the type of spirit that she had. It seems to me that she was a tender-hearted woman. The Bible talks about tender-hearted, being young and tender. It talks about tender mercies. It sounds to me like Leah is a meek-spirited type of girl. She's delicate. Her heart's not hardened. You say anything to her, look at her the wrong way, it's going to break her heart. And so the Bible talks about these two. And the story is that Jacob gets the pick between the two. And the Bible says in verse number 18, look at this. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Well, that's just natural tendency for a man. If a man doesn't know a girl and a man has two girls to pick from and he sees one that's well-favored and beautiful and he sees another and they don't say anything about her looks, well, we not all agree is a natural tendency for a man to be attracted to or go towards the one that is more beautiful than another. That's just the nature of a man. You start looking at those two, and to me it's a great picture of two different types of things. The Bible says that in this life, the devil tries to use things that are appealing to our flesh. Things that we are attracted to, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. That's exactly what the devil tries to use to get you and me to fall into sin. That's what he uses for temptation. In fact, at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says he took that tree and took that fruit and showed it to Eve. And the Bible says when it was good to look upon, when it was pleasant to the eyes, that's when she grabbed that fruit. When Jesus was taken out there into the wilderness by the Spirit, and the devil shows up and the devil begins to tempt him, one of the things that he does with our Lord is he takes him up to the top of a pinnacle. And he says, I want you to look out there at all these kingdoms. You know what he's doing? He was trying to appeal to the lust of the eyes. And tonight, for me and you, it is true. It is natural. That's the natural thing that we have to fight against. That's the daily battle that you and I have to fight in this flesh, is that the devil uses the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He uses those things to tempt us, not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, not only does Rachel make a good picture of the world, Leah makes a wonderful picture of Christ. The Bible says, who hath believed our report in Isaiah 53? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And the Bible says this about Jesus Christ, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See that picture? Jacob, has a choice in his life of whether he's going to pick Rachel or whether he's going to pick Leah. And we see right away the natural tendency and the thing that he goes after is the thing that attracts his flesh, the thing that attracts his eyes, and he goes after that thing. That's the same thing me and you do. As saved people, that is the daily battle that you and I have to fight against every single day, is picking between the things that appeal to our flesh or we're going to follow the things of Christ. Try that. The Bible says this in verse number 19. The Bible says, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Now watch this. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Do you see that right there? It's a good gauge to find out tonight. If I was to ask you, now listen, I know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to a good church, good people. If I was to ask you, do you love the Lord? There's no doubt most everybody in here loves the Lord. But I'll tell you, the Bible talks about in seasons, out of seasons. But we have good days, we have bad days. We have good weeks. We have bad. And even when we start off our day right and we're walking with the Lord, it don't take but just one wrong thought or one temptation, and it seems like we blow those days. I'm telling you, we have this flesh that we fight against all the time. It's true. He said he served for 7 years, but this seemed like a few days because of the love he had. And that's a good gauge. It's a good gauge to find out, listen, when you come to church, does it seem like you're there forever? Does it seem like just a few minutes? All that just gauges on how much you love, how much our love for the Lord is. Come on, man. You walk in the door and you're walking with God and your love is exactly what it's supposed to be. You can't get enough of this place. But when you're in love with something on the side and something has your attention and you're not really interested in the things that you're supposed to be interested in, you come in here and this thing drags out. You wonder why the songs are so many, why the message is so long. It seems like it's forever when things aren't right in our life with the Lord. Same thing with our Bible. Come on, man. When we're in love with the Lord, we can't get enough of that book. We're in that thing and we're looking at the clock and says, man, I got to get going. And it pains us to have to close that Bible and get that car to go to work. We want to stay in there and walk with God and keep reading that book because we're in love with it. Is it ever like this with you, man? Your day's getting going and the hours are starting to pass and you're in that prayer closet and you're sitting there talking with the Lord, having sweet fellowship with Him, and you're just sitting there saying, man, I ain't got but a few more minutes and I got to walk out the door, and I know I can talk to him in the car, but it's just not the same as talking to him here. That is when things are right in our life. You can gauge it by the time that you spend. It's amazing how people can't sit an hour and a half in church, but they spend hours on that social media. Come on, man, there's a love problem. Can't sit here a couple hours. It's getting about a couple hours past 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Come on, man, we sit and watch a ball game. That thing goes into overtime. And we're jumping up and down and can't get enough of it. It's love. It's love. It's love. It's love. Drive 3 hours to the beach and eat fish and drive back in the same day. Ain't got 2 hours to go visit. Can't drive 2 hours to go to a meeting. Too much time. You understand what I'm not fussing nobody. But I'm just saying, man, we can say we love the Lord and we do love the Lord. But I'll tell you, there's some gauges there. The time you spend, I would say. He said this in verse number 21. Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. I think this is great. My days are fulfilled that I may go into her. He said, my days are finished. You know what Jacob did? He finished. You know why he finished? Man, he loved Rachel. He finished all because of his love. You know, something we talked about today at lunch is I want to make sure I finish right. Now, we hear it all the time, and I'm not saying my how the mighty have fallen. I'm not standing here saying it couldn't be me tomorrow. It could be me tonight. But I'm saying, don't you get disappointed of people that fall and people that break your heart, people that you look up to, people that you reverence, people that you think, man, there's somebody you look up to. I tell you, we see it all the time. We even see it not amongst preachers. We see people in our churches fall. People you see, they get in. It seems like they're running well. It seems like they're soaking in the messages. They're showing up for this. They're showing up for that. And then all of a sudden, you see they miss a Wednesday night. Or they miss a Sunday school. And then before you know it, it's Sunday mornings, and before you know it, it's out. Listen, you know why people don't finish? Well, they fall out of love with the Lord. That's it. That's it. He fulfilled those days, and he finished those days to me because he loved. Listen, he was out there working day and night for 7 years. Don't you think he had some hard days? Don't you think over 7 years, don't you think he had problems? Don't you think he got frustrated? Don't you think he got weary? Don't you think he got tired? Don't you think he wanted to quit? Guarantee it passed through his mind. You know why he didn't quit? Because of his love. Come on, man. The ministry gets weary. Your life as a mother gets weary. Your life as a daddy gets hard. Bills coming in. Trouble here. Trouble there. But we keep going. I'll tell you what keeps us going. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth us. Come on, man. Paul was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. All these things. But he kept on going because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It constrained him to keep on going. The Bible said in verse number 22, and Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah's daughter and brought her to him. Now watch this. And he went into her. Now I'm going to tell you, Leah is such a type of Christ. Because you don't hear anything out of Leah. Here's Jacob. He's working for Rachel. Obviously, everybody knows he's working for Rachel. And when it comes at the end of the 7 years, he's supposed to get Rachel. But Laban gives him Leah. And the Bible said in that verse that he took Leah, his daughter, brought her to him, and he went in unto her. You don't see anything coming out of Leah's mouth. You know what Leah's doing? Anything the father asks. She's a picture of Christ. She don't even open her mouth. Does that remind you of anybody? And she's being given to somebody that doesn't even want her. Is that just like our Savior? He came into his own, and his own received a knot. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, but he didn't even open his mouth. She's such a picture of Christ. The Bible says, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, now watch this, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Look at this. Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? You know, the Bible said in Genesis 3 that the serpent beguiled Eve. Bible says, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, I believe it is, that Satan deceived and that he beguiled Eve. You know what Jacob never thought about? Jacob was sitting there serving the whole time and loving Rachel and never thought about it. But then he woke up one day and he found out the whole time he thought he was getting one thing. He woke up to reality. He wasn't getting what he thought. Ain't that something? You know, people that choose to love their flesh and to love this world and to serve other things than Jesus Christ, that's exactly what takes place. You don't know what you're really getting. You think you're getting one thing, but you're really being beguiled and you get something that you don't even think about. Come on, I didn't get saved until I was 25, and so when I was living my teenage years, I wasn't chasing after Christ. My teenage years were not spent living for the Lord. My teenage years were not spent loving Jesus Christ like I ought to love Him. I was a lost man. And I lived my life really chasing the lust of my flesh. And I thought the whole time I was chasing that, that I was going to get a certain bill of goods. I thought, okay, I'm going to chase this, and people chase it, and they think they're getting thrills, they're getting highs, they're getting all these things. And you know what happens every single time? People wake up to reality, and they don't get what they bargained for. They don't end up getting what they think they had started out after. They don't think. Listen, Jacob, he was. You think about Jacob. This is an awkward story too. Here's Jacob, goes into this honeymoon setting, and he thinks he's going to wake up to Rachel. He wakes up to Leah. It's pretty awkward, ain't it? You know what it is? He's sitting there in darkness, thinking that he's receiving a certain thing, and when he wakes up in the next morning, here's reality. He didn't get what he bargained for. Now, I don't know who's lost, who's saved, but I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen to lost people. People who are not saved are sitting here, even tonight maybe, sitting here in darkness. And they've been told that if they do this, that this is what they're going to get. Come on, man. These guys, whether it's True Lights, whether it's Mormonism, whether it's Catholicism, whether it's some other religious organization. I'm telling you what these guys do. I'm telling you what they do. If you just listen for a few seconds, those guys will tell you exactly what you want to hear. And if you listen for just a few seconds, they'll say things like, Jesus Christ is the Savior. Well, nobody here has a problem with that. They'll even say, Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Nobody here has a problem with that. But you listen to them long enough, you know what they're going to say? Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for the sins of the world. And He did that so that He could pave a way for you to work yourself and you to do this so that you can earn your own way into heaven. It's exactly right. And I'm telling you, people sit in church and you talk to them. When you're a door knock, you say, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Yes. You believe He died on the cross for your sins? Yes. And I'm telling you, you get down to the bottom of all that stuff, and people believe with all their hearts that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that He could pave a way for people to work it out on their own. You know what's going to happen? They're sitting here in darkness. They're going to die. They're going to lift up their eyes. They're going to be in hell. Reality is going to set in. Come on, man. I'm pleading with you tonight. If you're lost, you cannot earn your way. You understand? You're not paving your own way. There's nothing in this world you could do to get yourself into heaven. Absolutely nothing you can do. Baptism ain't going to work. There's nothing in this world that can get you in except the blood of Jesus Christ. And if all your faith is not in the blood of Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's true. And Jacob's sitting here and he's in darkness and he wakes up to reality. I'm telling you, that's how it is for people that don't love Jesus Christ, live on their own, do what they want to do, and they're going to wake up. That's exactly what. And look. Here's why. Look at verse number 26. And Laban said, he said, wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Why'd you beguile me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Well, that would have been good information to know from the get-go. You know what the devil does? He doesn't tell you the whole story. And he'll tell you the whole story. He tells you, all right, you do this, you'll get this. He'll tell you anything he wants to tell you. He'll tell you whatever it is. And I'm telling you, he'll tell you lies. He'll tell you anything he can. He'll tell any of these teenagers anything they want to hear just to get them not to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, man. He'll paint the prettiest picture. He'll tell you can have whatever you want. But I'm telling you, he's leaving out a lot of information. Now, don't leave out a lot of information. Wouldn't anybody ever in here agree that didn't get saved when you were young? He sure did leave out a lot of information. And he told us, man, if we go and hang out with that crowd, we'd have a lot of friends. He didn't tell us half of them was going to die drunk driving and overdoses. You understand what I'm saying? He told us, you go take that drug, you're gonna enjoy that high. He never told us about all the health problems that comes with all that stuff. He told us you go lay around, you go sleep around, you're gonna enjoy that, you're gonna enjoy that. He didn't tell us about the guilt. Come on, man, he didn't tell us about the scars. Come on, man, some of you in here, you're saved. You did things in your teenage days, in your early days, and that devil, this world says you're going to enjoy this, and you're going to have, and we did get that, but they didn't tell us all the information. Some of us sit here in church, and we're saved as safe can be, try to walk with God as close as we can. We got things inside of our minds and our hearts we'll never get rid of till we get to heaven. He never tells the whole story. There's a lot of information. And we got a guy in our church right now. And we got a deacon in our church. And his daddy's been strung out on drugs ever since he was a little boy. He'll testify, man, it's so sad. His daddy smoked crack his whole life. He said his mama, he told us the other day, he said, my mama said for the first 15 years, his daddy was out running around. He'd go visit him. This boy, he'd go visit him in prison. He said for 15 years, my mama would look out the blinds. He'd wait for every car to go by and say, maybe that's him, maybe that's him. Isn't that sad? And then he told me the other day, he said, after 15 years, she just said, forget about it. I'm just going to go to bed. And that's the kind of life he had. Well, this guy's name's Charlie. We prayed for Charlie and begged God for Charlie. Ever since I've been there 10 years. And I've met with Charlie. I've done everything I can. I mean, honestly, we've done everything we can. Finally, we got him to go to the Crossroads Rescue Mission. He went about 3 months ago. It's been about 90 days. This weekend has been 90 days. He went to Crossroads Rescue Mission. He stayed there for 60 days. And completed the program. Come back to our church. Was there the very first Sunday or very first Wednesday night. Stood up and testified, crying, thanking God for helping him. Said, I'm clean. I feel like I'm free. Had the joy of the Lord. We wrote him letters. We sent him care packages. I mean, just crying, thinking, oh, we were shouting, we were rejoicing. What a blessing. He started missing a couple services. Last week I texted him. He got mad at me on the text. He sent his text. He wasn't happy with me about something I said in the pulpit. Got a call yesterday from Chris. He's back out there smoking crack again. Come on, man. When he was a 10-year-old boy, a 13-year-old boy, he started messing around with a group of boys smoking dope. The devil never told him. 50 years later, he's still messing around with that same old junk, hanging with the same old crowd. He didn't tell me he's going to lose his family and lose his grandchildren. He never tells you the whole story. That's exactly how it works. Leaves out a lot of information. But he says this in verse 27. Something you saw the notes. Fulfill her week. We will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served with me yet 7 other years. You see what Laban told Jacob? Now listen, that's an awkward honeymoon. 7 days like that. I don't know. That's weird. You know what happened? Laban said, you're going to finish. You're going to finish this week. You started this week. You're going to finish this week. There's something I learned in the Bible. You can think about in the Bible. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. Once you listen, I'm telling you, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I know this ain't going over well because here's why it's not going over well. We sit around, we look at each other, and we look at church people that are dressed up that come here every service and act like people don't have things that are hidden in their closets. But I'm telling you, I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter. You know what? I know I got problems. Come on, man. These preachers, they'll tell you the same thing. I know there's a respect and I know there's the lines and all that. But I'm telling you, we got problems. Not everybody, this might be a shock to some of you, not everybody in the room loves Christ with all their heart every day of their life. Come on, man. I'm telling you, sin creeps in so easily. There's a devil that's so deceptive. He can beguile the best of us. We let things in our life that ought not to be there. I'm telling you, maybe when I start naming things and start thinking, there are things, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, that devil will slip into your life. And if you let it hang around, you're going to reap what you sow. You mess around with that pornography? Come on, man. You're going to reap what you sow. You mess around with things you ought not to mess around with. You got things hidden that you ought not to have. I'm telling you, you are going to reap what you sow. You can't get around that. You look back in the Bible, you start thinking, look, here's some good examples. What about Pharaoh? You know what Pharaoh did when all those little boys were being born in Israelite? He wanted all them little boys to be drowned. I want you to drown all those little boys. You know how Pharaoh ended up dying? You think that's coincidence? You remember Ahab, King Ahab? You know what he did to Naboth? For his vineyard, he killed him. You know what happened after Naboth? You know what happened to Naboth? You know what happened after he died? The dogs came and licked up his blood. You keep on reading the story. You know what God did? God sent a messenger over to Ahab. And he said, you know what's going to happen to you? Same thing that happened to Naboth. You're going to die in the same place. And when you do, I'm sending dogs by and they're going to lick up your blood. You know that's exactly what happened to Ahab? Remember, Haman? You know what happens? We reap what we sow. You can't get around those. There are rules in that Bible. There are laws in that Bible. You can't undo the law of the harvest. I think it's interesting that Saul of Tarsus was there when they stoned Stephen. You know, one of the things that he listed later on in that 2 Corinthians, we start listing all the things that happened. You know what happened in the book of Acts? He martyred all those believers. You know what history tells us? He died with Nero cutting off his head. Come on. He was lost man doing these things, and as a saved man, those things still came to fruition. You understand, just because you get saved doesn't mean you don't reap what you sow. Now, if there's one thing I regret getting saved so late in life. You would think getting saved at 25. I'm 41 years old. You think all those things would be done, all those things will be gone. I'm just saying for the rest of my life, I just believe that's the way it is. Something how you reap what you sow in it. Well, I said, yeah, think about it. Well, yeah, think about where you're investing your time. Think about how you talk. Think about who you're around. Think about what you look at and listen to. Tell you, that thing comes back. Bible says this, verse 28. I'm trying to finish this. Verse 28. Bible says, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. Now, I want to show you this right here. I want to spend just a minute or two on this, and then I just want to read the rest of it. But watch this right here, verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. I just want you to note this one phrase in here. I want to talk about this for just a couple minutes. The Bible says he loved Rachel more than Leah. I said this at the beginning. Tonight's not for the most part, it's not an issue to love the Lord. The question is, do you love him more than, and you fill in the blank. You understand, man, if you're saved, this is why it's a hard message to preach, and it's not going well with me, but the thing is not about do you love the Lord. We're looking at people that are here that are saved. Obviously, you love the Lord. But the question and examination has to be, do you love him more than? And so you got things and I got things, and what appeals to you might not appeal to me. But that's what God's after. Remember when he come back after the Lord came back after his resurrection, and he found Simon Peter out there, and he said, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Wasn't a question if Peter loved him. It was just, did he love him more than? Come on, man, that's the Christian life. Ain't that right? Come on, man, if a man gets saved, he loves the Lord. We together on that? And so then he starts finding out there's some things in the Bible that he didn't know about. Brother Kraut said after he got saved, he had long hair. He didn't know he got saved. He loved the Lord. He was in church. And then he asked about singing. He talked to the guy said, well, if you want to sing, that's fine, but you got to cut your hair. He said, why I got to cut my hair? So he took the Bible, showed him where it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now here's the question. It's not that Brother Steve loved the Lord. It's just that he loved him more than that long hair. Is that right? Come on, man, that's the Christian life. Come on, with ladies, this is it. Bible says the lady ought dressed in modest apparel. Come on, it's not do you love the Lord, it's just do you love him more than your pants? Ain't that true? Come on, it's not do you love him, it's do you love him more than your television? Come on, do you love him more than your own life? You understand? It's not about do you love. That's why it's hard to preach it, because we know we love the Lord. But do you love him more than your own life? Love him more than your family? Let me look at this next verse and I'm going to show you something. Watch this. This is really good. I think it's really good. Maybe it should help you. Verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was, what's that next word? Hated. What? The Bible didn't say that Jacob hated Leah. It just said that he loved Rachel more than Leah. But see how the Lord sees it? Now watch this. Hold your place, all right? We'll take a quick trip. Matthew. Chapter 6. Verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Got it? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See how God sees it? Now watch this. This is a difficult one. Look at Luke chapter 14. We're going to come right back to Matthew. Look at Luke 14. Luke 14, look at verse number 26. Now watch this. If any man come to me, look at this. This is a tough verse. And hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It's a tough verse. Look at one more real quick. Look at Matthew 10. Go back to Matthew. Look at chapter 10. And he's going to explain it right here. Look at verse number 37. He that loveth father or mother, look at this, more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Come on, man. You know what the Lord's after tonight? You know what he's searching for tonight? He's not up there, I don't think, taking a poll of who loves me, who doesn't love me. He just wants to know if we love him more than anything else in the world. Come on, when he says, if a man doesn't hate his father and his mother and his children, God's not up there saying that I want you to despise them, think nothing of them, ditch them, get rid of them, don't be with them. That's not what God's saying. God just wants to know, you love me more than you love them? This is the truth. This is the truth. If you're going to keep going forward for Christ, it's going to come down to some of your family. Man, some of our biggest critics, some of the biggest persecution we face since we've been saved has been from our own flesh and blood. You know what God says? God doesn't say, all right, you ought to curse them. You ought to get rid of them. You ought to never talk to them again. It's not what he wants. Well, he wants to love your enemy. You know, he just wants to know, you going to love me more than you love them? You be willing to say no to them and say yes to me? Come on, they want to do everything on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And what you going to tell them? You understand what I'm saying? Come on, that's what God wants tonight. He said in the last days, he said, perilous times shall come. You know what one of those things are? Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than they are lovers of God. God's not saying you can't ever watch a ball game. God's not saying you can't ever shoot a bow and arrow. God's not saying you can't ever climb in a tree. God just wants to make sure you love Him more than you love that thing. Come on, man. You spend all this money on that. Spend all your time on that. Spend all your thoughts on that. All your heart on that. Just give God a little piece of your time. It's not a problem that you love the Lord. It's a problem you don't love Him more than you love that. Come on, man. You got things. I got things. There's sin that creeps in. There's weights that creep in. There's hobbies that creep in. There's things that just catch our eye. Things we get turned on a little bit. And then when I see myself going that way, I got to stop and say, all right, now wait a minute. It's not do I love the Lord. Every time, listen, anybody ever in here sin since I got saved? A couple of you? I don't know. There's one time I've ever sinned and never stopped loving the Lord. I still love the Lord. I've done things I've been ashamed of. And I'm telling you, you know why? It's because we love the Lord. You know what happened that one moment? For that one moment, it wasn't that I didn't love the Lord. It's just I love my flesh just a little bit more. Come on, man. They're saved men. I know you just know it. You read articles, statistics, you talk to men. I'm just kidding. Men got some problem with their eyes. Teenage boys got a problem with their eyes. Come on, man. When it comes down to that temptation, God says, I'm going to give you a way to escape every single time. Every time temptation comes, every time somebody tries to pull you away, everybody tries to get you not to love me, I'm going to send you a way of escape. I'll give you the grace to get out of there. I'm just telling you what the deceit is. Who do you love more? That's it. We're just living in days not that people don't love God. They just love pleasure more. Come on, not everybody here is not here tonight. They're not sitting at home not loving God. They just love whatever. Love ball more. Love TV more. That's it, ain't it? Come on, tomorrow morning, you get up. You're going to get up, go to work. Before work, it's not a question, do you love the Lord? Come on, it's just, do you love Him a little bit more than you love that rest? You love Him more than sleep to get up a little bit earlier in the morning? You get up there, you turn on the news, turn on your phone and start looking. It's not while you're looking at that stuff in the morning. You love the Lord while you're looking at that stuff. The problem is not loving Him. You understand what I'm saying? The problem is you just love this stuff, I think, a little bit more. And God says, I don't want that to be. I want you to love me more than anything else in your life. So He wants. You say, why should I do that? Well, I'm going to show you right here. Look at this. The Bible said in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 29, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You know why you ought to love Leah more? You ought to love Christ more? He's able to give life. Rachel can't give life. She's barren. She's empty. She's not able to produce one thing. Is that not the truth? Come on, we got a Savior. He gave us eternal life. Everlasting life. Able to give us abundant life. Calls us to be fruitful. I'm telling you, there's Rachel every single time. And she's as empty as she is the day long. She can't produce nothing in her life. She's vain. She's barren. She's empty. Why in the world do we waste our time with anything else but Jesus Christ? The Bible says, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Look what Leah says. Now therefore my husband will love me. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. So Leah said, look, now I've given him this. I gave him this son. Maybe now he'll love me. Maybe now he'll love me. Maybe now he'll join to me. I'd say that's probably a good picture of Christ. He probably says, man, I gave him this. I gave him eternal life. Maybe he'll love me. Come on, I saved his family. Maybe now he'll love me. Come on, I put his family back together and I gave him his wife back. I gave him his kids back. Maybe now he'll love me. You know what Jacob does? He don't love her. Yet you understand, I'm just telling you, we all sit around sometime and just think about what we'd have had Christ not come. And that makes me want to love him. I look back and think about me being lost and how God came and saved me. It just makes me want to love him. I remember days when I was not what I was supposed to be, and days when I think my wife was ready to leave me. I think of days when my boy was 2 years old. I was such a sorry daddy. I was about to lose it all. I just had to think back a little while and think, I remember when Jesus came and convicted me and gave me chance after chance after chance after chance. And I remember Jesus saving me, and it wasn't long. He started putting our marriage back together and fixing things in my life. Makes me want to love him. Look around, I got four kids, and seems like they love God and love the church house, and God allowed us to be in the ministry, get to go places and preach a little bit and be around God's people. This is our life. Amen. He gave me this life. He gave this to me. That makes me want to love him. I tell you, God's been good to us. So you wouldn't have your wife had God not come by and been good to you. That'll make y'all love him with all your hearts. You gotta write my blank check. Anything you want. You've been good to me. And it said this last thing. Look at the last verse. She said, look on my affliction. You remember the Lord said he was oppressed, he was afflicted. Verse 35. Last verse. I'd be glad to hear that. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. And just notice this last phrase. And left bearing. There was this. Jacob had this little window here where Leah was producing and giving him life. And you never see no turning from Jacob. You never see any affection towards Leah. You never see any love towards Leah. And the Bible says after that little window, she left off bearing, and that window's gone. And I just want to say this at the end. It don't matter where you are in your life. Everybody's at a certain stage, you know. We got some kids, some youngins, and they're saved and they know the Lord. They're at that young stage in their life. You know, you get one shot at this thing. Some teenagers, you got those teenage years, or some people, maybe you just got married. Here's what we have. We get one little window of opportunity at every stage in our life. And then it's over. You know what I regret most about getting saved at 25 is I missed all those years of my teenage years really serving God with all my heart. I would give almost anything to go back and change those. But the whole time I was running around loving Rachel, loving my flesh, loving myself. And now that window right there is gone. I had those first couple years when we got married. You understand? We were lost. I could have took that time, Brother Martin, and taken my wife, and we could have started out on the right foot. You understand? Start our marriage out on the right foot and us love God together as early 20s. You know what? I missed that window of opportunity in my life. And now we're raising our kids. You know what? Now my oldest boy, 17, he's getting ready to finish school next year. And I think there's another one that's gone. And I tell you, I don't know of one bigger disappointment in somebody's life that they let one of those stages in their life go by and they don't love Jesus Christ with everything they have and give Him every single thing they have, don't miss that opportunity you have wherever you're at right now in your life to serve Jesus Christ with all you got. Love Him with all your heart. Don't waste your days. Don't waste it following that flesh. Don't waste it following those things that are lustful and things that appeal from the world. I'm begging you with all my heart. I'm begging you with everything I got. Serve Jesus Christ with all you have. Love Him more than you love yourself. That's the message. So I'll stand. I'm going to pray then. Brother Kirchner, come and
just finish it away. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for your word. And I ask you please to help us, Lord. It's hard to preach that. Lord, I know there's good people here that love you. And there's no doubt about that, Lord. I don't question that. There's not one ounce of me that questions that there's a room full of here the people that love you. But, Lord, I know what it's like to get away. Lord, as a pastor, I've been backslid. And Lord, it's simply days that I chose to love myself and love my flesh more than I loved you. And Lord, I'm so disappointed in that. Lord, help us. Help us to really evaluate, really think about it. And Lord, maybe we'll leave out of here, Lord, wanting to serve you and love you more than what we have. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Brother Steve is playing a song. He mentioned all the time about being a hard message, but you know what? People with any sense of logic, even, would have to agree with what he said. A lost man with any sense of decency would still agree with what he said. May not agree with the salvation part of it, but loving other things more. Listen, there's not a wife in this room who, if you ask them, would not say, "My desire is that my husband love me more than anyone else." And any husband say the same thing. Even though children are children, and they may not vocalize this, but they live this way, they act out this way, "I want my parents to love me more than anybody else." Well, if that's normal operating procedure for any decent human being, then why is it that we cannot expect a great, holy, righteous God to not expect anything less? That He wants us to love Him more than anything else. What a message. And I'm telling you, before God, I am so guilty of loving other things often more than I love Him. And can I say that that's not a badge of honor to admit that? That's a badge of shame to me. Well, isn't that wonderful? That man, that our pastor or that preacher or that person has volunteer to tell us how low down they are. Aren't they one? No, that's shameful. What makes it honorable is when we do something about it. So now, if you're here tonight without Christ or you're not sure you're going to heaven, it's great for you to say, "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven." But I'm telling you, you'll go to hell with that on your lips. The best thing you can do about it is to do something about it. Maybe you need to come and trust Christ as your personal Savior. Why don't you step out now and do just that? If you're saved, there's nothing else to add to that message. I'm not going to re-preach it. There's no need. I think you got it. I know I did. What do you love more? What do you love more? If you need to love Jesus more, then I think you ought to be making your way to this altar. Some have already done it. But you have battled with that decision. you ought to come and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm going to start loving you more than these. Right now, we're not singing. Heads are bowed. You're at that moment of thought when the Holy Spirit, I trust, is dealing with your heart. Now, will you be the one to step out still and come to this altar and say, Lord, you've spoken to my heart and I've made a decision. I want to love you more. Now, guess what? You're going to have to make that same decision tomorrow and the next day and the next. That's called crucifying the flesh. When you do that, you're telling God, I love you more than myself. Anybody else? You want to come and take an opportunity to pray? That's right. Just come on. We're not in a rush. I hope you're not in any big hurry. I know some of you have traveled a little ways, but God will be with you and take care of you while you travel home, as long as you're obeying Him now. Father, we love you tonight. We say that. When I say that, Lord, I mean it. From my soul, I mean it. I love you. Lord, listening to the message tonight, I can look back and see moments when I didn't love you more than something else. If I loved another woman more than I loved my own wife, there'd be trouble, and rightfully so. So why is it then that I can love this world sometimes more than I love you and expect you just to let it go? Forget about it. Wink at it. This doesn't work that way. Lord, I pray tonight that all of us here will make that commitment to say, I'm going to love Jesus more than anything else in my life. What a message. What a message tonight. And the only reason it was hard for him to preach it is because Satan was buffeting him. Shut up. Don't say anymore. Because it was the truth. Thank God the truth shall set you free. Thank you for that message and the man of God who preached it without waver. God bless this congregation of people, both home folks and visitors. If they leave lost, it'll be their own choice. If they leave loving something else more than Jesus, that'll be their own choice. But Lord, we all have to remember, we have the right to make the choice, but we do not have the right to choose the consequence. But thank you for preaching God's Word. Thank you for preaching through Brother Brian tonight, the precious Word of God. We love you and thank you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen and amen.